Hello, everyone. Welcome to Word with Dr. Michael David Clay. I am certain that everyone at some point by now has been either the ghost or the ghostee. Ghosted. I know that even so, as I bring that up on the podcast today, relative to where we are today, that even seems like old news. Most of us understand the initial shock having been worn off that people may present something in some tangibly connected, I want to say, way, relevant way, that otherwise really isn't there, but we misread it, and then in the end, we're sort of shocked. I thought we really had something going there. We seemed to get along so well. They seemed so friendly. They seemed genuinely interested and concerned. And then when it comes time to following up, you're ghosted. I can't believe it. I can't believe that they just didn't say anything. Where did they go? They might have walked away. Where did they go? No one knows. And then we're left to fill in the blank. That empty space, as with lack of description or descriptor as to why did they do this to me? Insight section, Psychology Today, September, October, 2024. The friendly ghost. Ghosting may be a form of kindness. By Susan Cross Whitborn, Ph.D., who is a staff writer on staff with Psychology Today. In the world of emails and texts, ghosting has become increasingly popular. No one seems to like the practice of abruptly ending communication with someone without explanation, whether dating or in the workplace. Research in the Journal of Experimental Psychology by Yejin Park and Nadav Klein of New York University advances the idea that the ghoster may be trying to let the other person down easy. Ghosters ghost partly to avoid causing pain to hostees, according to the researchers. But this reality is lost on ghostees. In a series of 8 studies, the authors found that ghostees underestimated the extent to which ghosters tried to protect the ghostees' feelings. In one study, the researchers assigned participants the roles of ghoster or ghostee in a scenario and asked them to evaluate why they chose to ghost. Typical reasons included not wanting to feel uncomfortable or rejected. But many also didn't want the ghostee to feel rejected or experience hurt feelings. Both groups rated how much they believed the ghosters cared about the well-being of those they had ghosted. And there was a mismatch. The ghosters believed they cared much more about the ghostees' feelings than the ghostees thought. In a later experiment, the researchers found that ghosters were more likely to think about the ghostees' feelings when the reason for ghosting was negative. In another scenario, the ghoster was willing to provide actual help to the ghostee by offering useful advice. However, the ghosted were more likely to reject this opportunity because they underestimated how much the ghoster cared about them. Ghosties don't seem to trust those who ghost them. Why does this rejection method hurt more than other methods? The researchers believe it's a communication problem. Without an explanation for the departure, the ghosted fill in the blanks for the rejection. This explanatory void is typically filled with thoughts of personal deficiencies. Rejection is inevitable in life. Those who ghost may wish to protect the feelings of the people they ghost, but old-fashioned explanation is likely the way to go. Finding common ground in a rejection conversation and offering solid reasons for the decision may be harder than never responding. But it shows more empathy for the other person. If an opportunity vanishes, at least the ghosted know why. Again, Insights section of Psychology Today, September-October of 2024, The Friendly Ghost. Ghosting may be a form of kindness. I get that motive, I appreciate, is important. I get that intention is important. I get that no one wants to hurt, I would want to believe, anyone else's feelings, should they be someone of still somewhat normal character. But if you begin with a premise that is failed and flawed, how could, even in your best intent, not want to or desire to cause undue harm to another, it is going to turn out without still undue harm to another? And when it comes to ghosting, it seems the irrational premise, the errant presupposition, is that somehow someone is going to, some way, take kindness, friendliness, interest in another person as some indication that, in that, there's going to be a lot more attached to it, or that the significance of kindness, being friendly, in some manner presupposes one, maybe artificially so, to read more into a circumstance or situation, social dimension, than is appropriate. Now, of course, when it comes to emails and texts, isn't that the flaw in emailing and texting? It's not personal. It's very difficult to communicate emotions, and it's often easier to misread emotions, as the article pointed out, because of failed communication. Now, whether this means that it begins with emails and texts, I know the article, as it points out, is probably not ideal to end it with emails and texts, and particularly ghosting. I also get it, understand, that's easy to just not respond. We're all busy. We all might have missed it, what, the email or the text. And in that, there's easy justification. Well, they're really not someone in my personal sphere. Even more personal when it comes to some physical dimension where I see them on a daily basis, I interact with them, we're in some sort of material context or circumstance where there is valid exchanges, words that are spoken and heard, feelings that either the words communicate or sometimes in even a more elegant manner, nonverbal communications, where we are in some ways going to be held accountable because we share the common physical dimension. And in that, we are now, recognizably, once we acknowledge it, part of a common network, social network, has environmental definition, circumstantial definition, environmental. We share the same terrain. We share the same air, the same space. That's a bit more personal. Otherwise, it's just virtual. Otherwise, it's just out there. But should it have begun even in this more personal, sharing some physical dimension, intimate, not simply just virtual, digital? And then it gets to that place of, well, we'll get together and we just need to figure out how to communicate that. And we either do that through, again, email or texting, which is a very common method. And then they ghost. I would like to say this. That's a misread if on the front end we take kindness and friendliness as an indication of anything more than kindness and friendliness. It does not mean that someone is friendly or shows interest in you, that they want to have a deeper relationship. How much deeper? How much more involved? What will the definition be? Definitions be as you try to define it? Those are unanswered questions, and quite possibly they may never be asked, they're never answered. There may not be any interest, or if there were at some point some interest, there's plenty of others. It is superficial by nature. But it doesn't mean that people should stop being friendly or kind. And even should that be digitally, in some sort of virtual context, be friendly, be kind. But I don't know then that that might not also speak to how disconnected, either in virtual, digital context, or even in somewhat of a failing of our social capacities, networking, we've gotten to a place where not only are we misunderstanding, misreading the cues, the social cues, misinterpreting friendliness and kindness in a generic or general sort of way, even if it's just opportunistic. Hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. This is where I live. This is what my life's about. What about you? Oh, yes, this is who I am. This is what I do. This is what my life's about. Maybe, opportunistically, we'll have reason to get together, but there's no obligation, again, in that. The relationship may or may not proceed. But I think we're hungry, if that's a good word. It is in us, as with need, to be socially connected. But I think we're hungry for social connection. I think, believe, we are also probably deficient in some way when it comes to intimacies. I do believe that in a superficial aspect of relationship, we can do that well. It's advertising. It's promoting oneself. It's networking. It's image. It's likeness. It's name. It's identity. And all of that, all of those things are important. But overselling or not being able to understand how to build relationship, grow relationship, find out even if there's going to be a relationship. We are not good at that. Maybe we never were humans. Maybe tribalism, family. Why family was so important? Because there was a natural, organic reason to presume longevity, some sustainability, some long-term perspective, or within that type of scope of seeing that other person and yourself. But now that we seemingly so have recognized some of the ills of too much tribalism, too much family, where we like diversity, where we like to include everyone, where we don't want to wall off or out anyone, where we do not want to discriminate against anyone, we want to be kind and friendly. Maybe now, more than ever, if you're going to do that way, if you're going to approach it on the front end in that manner of promotion, advertising, I said earlier, marketing yourself, selling yourself, which is not bad, I do not believe, finding out where there would be opportunities for some exchange, reciprocity. It does not always have to be transactional in a bad way. But we probably need a little more either experience, if you believe in such things as evolution, that aspect of our social being quite possibly has not evolved to the point where now we have so much in the way of numbers and therein diversity sort of imposed. We've just not gotten to that place where we refine that skill set. I think, too, and this article was published in 2024, so long after COVID 19, 2019, 2020, 2021, went on forever. But I do believe this may be, even so, somewhat of a sociological phenomenon. But again, ghosting has been around a while. And I'm not sure that that is the entirety of it. I just don't know that we're good at getting past the superficials. I'm not sure that we are good at teaching that. I think identity, name, likeness, identity, marketing yourself in that way, maybe more digitally than personally, broaden your opportunities, your scope of influence, your interactions. Those are all appropriate, not to take anything then away from either technology or therein that turn in terms of our social structure, our social being, the sociology of human being. But maybe we need to do a bit more work on understanding where that begins and ends, and to what end, purpose that is, and how in that then to not only discriminate what relationships, not in a bad way, discriminate a good way, what relationships are going to continue, which ones are keepers, which ones are your person, which ones will require then more than just image, likeness, name, but instead would be built upon true relationship, where there will be more than just an exchange of a superficial nature, but it does require emotional investments. It requires trust to be built. It requires, certainly foundationally, kindness, friendliness. But there then has to be reciprocity tested. Are they going to return an at least acceptable proportion what they're given? Is it then one-sided? Will it be mutual? And though transactional, there's a lot of conditions applied as I'm speaking to it. At some point, though, over time, as that foundation gets established, the psychology, the sociology of human being seems to suggest longitudinally that the conditions begin to be removed. Oddly enough, if you're a realist, oddly enough, paradoxically, if you're grasping, getting, as I said earlier, I get it, understanding what I'm saying about the casual nature of our social order and relationships, and with that then appreciate unconditional is on a front load as well as a back load of all relationships. But not all relationships move past the front to the middle to get to the end or the back. You can accept anybody and everybody unconditionally. But that does not mean you're going to have a sustainable, mutually gratifying relationship that offers, at least in some proportion, as much as you're giving. And in that, then, will be necessarily, has to be necessarily established. And those conditions in that middle terrain of relationships, that middle stage of reciprocity, are very important because that's where trust ensues. And should you make it through with repeated experiences to prove that the individual, that the relationships, the two individuals, that the relationship is encompassing at least, are trustworthy, reliable, able to follow through, capable of a sustained relationship, you can then begin to relax and take some of those conditions off. It becomes unconditional then on the backside or the ending of that as a continuum up to the point where, for whatever reason, it just terminates marriage, as example, till death do us part. But that middle ground, that's where all the struggle is. That's where all the risk takes place. That's where character shows itself. Virtue examples itself. It's demonstrated that if they ghost you on the front end, that's probably just a clear sign. Not that you're not worth it. Not that they're terrible people, but this relationship is not going to endure that critical construct period formation of not only basis trust as basis for the relationship, identifying the exchange rate, identifying what we give and what we receive, how valuable it is, important it is, but also in that, it teaches us not only how to read, so with realistic expectations, we don't take it personally, so that we do not harm one another by feeling somehow, well, you just don't like me. Something's wrong with me. You just didn't have anything to do with me. Do you not like how I look? Do you not like how I sound? Do you not like my physical appearance? Though that may be true, I don't know. But it, probably in the void of ghosting, or that void when they don't follow up, it may not be you, it may be them. They may feel the same way. They may not want to hurt your feelings. They may feel inadequate themselves. But you don't have to read it that way. You just have to accept. It's not discrimination. It's not prejudice. In that way, bad. It's not that somehow they don't like your type, your kind. Maybe more, somehow, they not only don't like your type, don't like your kind, they're just tribal. They just like theirs and their own. If you go down that path too far, you're not only getting into hypervigilance, but you're getting into paranoia. And again, I'll go back to what I said earlier in the podcast. I believe that's why we need, whatever the reason we're not good at it, as I speculated earlier on possible reasons, we just need, I believe, to realize, I think it's a need. It's not personal until you make it personal, and then mutual consent is so critical, as with choice, but everybody is not at the same place when it comes to maturity. The needs are not always the same, whether it's the same individual over the course of any given course of one's life, or one who therein has a life. At any point, they may have different needs. It just requires negotiation. You have to go through that middle phase. You have to establish some mutually beneficial exchange. It's going to be transactional. It's going to be based on reciprocity, so that those conditions, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, gets established. On the front end, it's unconditional. We want it to be equally, but now for better reasons, unconditional on the backside, now that we've established through that phase of definition. And out of that comes an identity between the two individuals that in that form a bond. Maybe it's friendship, as I spoke earlier. Maybe it's marriage. Maybe couples. Long-term, sustainable investment. Mutually gratifying. Consensual. Choice. Those are the best. There's not a lot of them. Because it requires work. It's easy to be triggered. It's easy to be overly, I think, as in overthinking, overly concerned with harming one another. I don't think you should be under-concerned, or you can think too much about harming one another. But we need to understand, not everything is intentioned to harm. And in that way, if we've got our own difficulties accepting ourselves, don't ghost yourself. Be true to yourself. Follow through. Psychological counseling can help. Actually, that's the basis for probably most, at least in social context of human operation, human being. That's the work that I do, and folks who do what I do for a profession. Should you be one of those individuals that thinks that you might benefit from having some of those questions answered and understanding, don't take it personal, putting it in a healthier context, being true to yourself, as well as, it could be family, your friends. But if you want to extend yourself, it will take work and time. But the psychological counseling relationship is modeled upon forming a trusting bond, you and the therapist. Should you want to reach out to anyone who does this, there is a directory on the Psychology Today website of providers. Take a look at it. Should you want to reach out to us, you can, 304-523-WORD-9673. Email me, I won't ghost you, drmdclay@thewordhouse.com. Find us, me, online at thewordhouse.com, on Facebook and YouTube at Wordhouse. And of course, you're always welcome to come back and catch the next podcast, Word with Dr. Michael David Clay. We drop it weekly. Until we get that chance, though, to meet again, I want to wish you the best of mind health, mental health, behavioral health. And I also want to say thanks.